Colossians chapter 4, read with me please from verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth under all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As many of you know, numerous occasions we've referred to the passage there, that there are three things in there. Number one, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And be thankful for anything. The peace of God in verse 7 is not peace with God. It's the peace that God brings. It's God's peace reigning in your heart. And if you meet the conditions in there, then the peace of God is in your heart. If the peace of God is not in your heart, then you've not met the conditions there. All right, in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And there isn't a lot of people that can make such a remark as verse 9. In fact, I suspect that after the Apostle Paul was offered up, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I suspect that from the time that Paul was offered up as a sacrifice, that until this day, there's never been an individual that could scripturally and by the Spirit make the remark of verse 9. I am sure that there'd never be a possibility that I could make that remark. Those things which you've both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with him. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me at first again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's a statement that is never easy for anybody to make. Only by the power of the Spirit of God could an individual make such a remark. And an individual would have to understand Paul's circumstances to see the impact of the verse. There are some people that are always under the circumstances. Did you ever notice that? Under the circumstances, so-and-so. Under the circumstances, well, I'd do it this way, but under the circumstances. They're always under the circumstances. They never get out from under the circumstances. In other words, if this wasn't happening, I wouldn't have this taking place now. If that over there wouldn't have ever happened, this wouldn't be happening, and on and on. There are three kinds of people in this world. They're the kind that make things happen, the kind that watch things happen, and the kind that wonder what's happening. Most of us are those kind that wonder what's happening. Paul is the kind of man that whatever state he was in, and he's not talking about Alabama, Mississippi, or Georgia, he's talking about what the condition is. It doesn't make any difference. I am content. I've learned to be content there. I've learned that there ain't any need to get ulcers about the thing. In other words, if it's this way, then it's this way. If it's that way, it's that way. But there ain't no need for me to lose sleep over it and get all upset and disturbed and have to take pills to calm myself down. And it's not a fatalistic attitude that he's referring to here. That's not the point that he's making. The point is that I know that God Almighty has everything in control. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and I'm serving him, and he knows where I ought to be, and all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, I can be content in whatever state I am. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Most of us think that we know how to be abased, and yet, as we go down through life, we find that we have never learned how to be abased. We find that when we are put down, then that irritates us and bothers us. We have never learned how to be abased. And most of us never realize how to abound because we've never had that privilege. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the verse I'm going to discuss tonight is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There is the I can do's versus, well, I just can't make it. You ever notice that there are some people that always can do it? They never appear to run into anything that they can't do. They can always do it. I mean, if they don't know how to do it, they find out how to do it. If it doesn't appear like there's any way to do it, they find some way to do it. They can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but there's some that never can do it. It just don't look like I'm just going to be able to make it any longer. I just know that this is going to be a bad day. I'm just sure that before this day's over, I'm going to have a splitting headache. Well, that's right. You prepare for it, and that's what you have. You make provision to be able to do it, and you make provision to be able to fail. There are those that are constant failures because they thrive on failure. They love failure. It's just like a hypochondriac. I guess that's what they're called. Big long word there. It's those kind of people that you don't dare ask them how you're doing today. I mean, they go on for a half an hour about the lumbago and the this and that and the other, and it just finally you're just ready to cry, not because of what they're saying, because you want to get away. And you don't dare ask them. And you know something? If you said to them, I've got the answer to their problem, they say, shut up. I'm happy in my misery. Don't you dare try to get me out of my misery. I've lived in it all this time, and I dare not leave my miserable state. And on and on. They love sympathy. They live for sympathy. Paul was a I can do person. I can do all things, and he went and did it. And you know what? He started out, and when he got to a point, if he saw that he couldn't continue the route that he was going, he went another way. But he didn't turn around and go back. In Acts chapter 16, Paul went north up through Galatia, up through Asia and Galatia from the Mediterranean Sea. And he got up there and he turned toward the east. As he went on his way up there, the Lord turned him around. And Paul went back toward Europe, and he saw a man over there in a vision saying, Paul, come over and help us. And the Apostle Paul caught a boat and went across over into Europe. He got over into Europe, and they went into Philippi, and Paul is preaching to some people there, and they're on their way to prayer and whatever, and one day they're on the way to prayer, and there's a demon-possessed woman there, and she said, these men show unto us the way of salvation, and on and on. And so finally Paul turned to that woman, cast the demon out of her, and the woman got saved. As a result of her salvation, Paul and Silas were grabbed, dragged into the marketplace, and they beat them. Then after they had beat them, they dragged them down the street and carried them to the jail and threw them into the jail. And that night at midnight, there Paul and Silas are down in that jail with their hands and their feet fastened there with the stocks. And they're praying and singing praises unto God. Can you imagine the attitude of Silas? Saw a vision, did you? Man said, come over and help us, huh? I mean, we're doing pretty good the way we were. I mean, we're having revival up through Galatia there and souls getting saved and whatever. And you and your visions, here we are over here in this jail, always having visions, huh? You ever have people talk to you like that? What would you have done? I mean, had you been there with your feet fastened in the stocks, you just had the tar beat out of you, you'd been humiliated and whatever, would you sing praises unto God, or would you just fold up and say, well, I'm just going to quit. If God Almighty can't take care of me any better than that, then I'm not going to serve a God that doesn't have the preeminence. And quit. But Paul didn't quit. You know what he did? He just prayed in an earthquake. He just got to praying, and an earthquake came, and the walls of the thing tumbled down, their bonds were loosed, and they were set free. And the end result of it all was the authorities in that city said, get out of the city. You know what Paul did? He said, who do you think you're kidding? me leave? After you've humiliated me like this? Here I am, a Roman citizen. I came in here and I've done you no harm, and you're just going to run me out? No. And you know what they did? They escorted him out of town. Would you have done that? Would you have said, no way am I just going to go running off like this? You escort me out of town. Go and get some limousine. I want to ride out. You dragged me down in front of them people and humiliated me. Now get some limousine, bring me over here and pick me up, and we'll go out. Or else, we're going to have trouble over this. They carried him out. Paul was a can-do type person. He was the person that believes in doing things, not watching them happen, getting up there and doing them. I was talking to a fellow one time that's a fox hunter, and he had dogs. And you know, I used to wonder about that. Those little fellows that sit around, they drink that booze at night, you know, and listen to them hounds run. And I thought, what in the world is there about that that is so fascinating? And I asked the man, I said, how in the world do you know which dog is where? He said, how do you know who's talking in another room when you can't see them? I said, by the sound of their voice. He said, that's how I know which dog is where. I know the sounds of their voices. Got to talking to that fellow, and I found out there are all kinds of dogs in a pack that chase a fox. There is the dog that leads, and no matter what they come to, that dog will go through it. There are others that do nothing but follow and bark. I mean, they just go like a house of fire behind the guy who's beating the pathway in front, and it's yep, 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 yep. I mean, you'd think they're the ones that's got the fox on the run, but really, they're just following the other one. But nothing stops him, and if it weren't for him, they'd leave the track, they'd go around the briar patch, they'd go around the brambles, and on, they wouldn't go through. But that one dog, he finds a way. He goes through there. He's got one thing on his mind. He's after that fox. And so he goes after him. He's a leader. He's one of those kind of people that do things. Paul said, I can do all things. Now, there's a fascinating thing about the book of Philippians. Did you ever notice that the word sin is not in Philippians? Not one place can you find anything about sin written to these people. And that isn't all. The word flesh is never emphasized in here except in the sense of being something that an individual would brag about. Paul said, if you think you've got anything to boast in the flesh about, I've got more. In other words, you think you can have confidence in the flesh, I'm more. But never is there an indication in the Scripture about sin and walking in the flesh and living in the flesh in the sense of a sinful thing. The real heart of the message of Philippians is in chapter 2. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, the center of the thought in the book of Philippians is in one accord with Ephesians. Back in the book of Ephesians, Paul said to those people, by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he said, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, in the book of Ephesians, it's the salvation of some people that deserve nothing but damnation. Their salvation is by grace through faith, and God Almighty saved them to work. In other words, we are his workmanship, created to do good works. But the book of Philippians follows that theme, work out your own salvation. He's not saying plan your salvation. He's not saying work for your salvation. He's saying that the salvation that is yours, that which you have inside, work that salvation out. It's like perform it. In fact, the word for work out in Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 is perform in Romans chapter 7 verse 18. It is done in Ephesians 6. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. That'll be close by. Verse 13. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having worked all, to stand. Having performed all, just stand. Back in Philippians 2, in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. In other words, work out that which is inside of you and make it manifest in your daily life. Perform it out so that people can see that which is really yours. You know, it is one thing to believe the truth of Philippians 4, verse 13. It's another thing to practice it in daily life. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. It's one thing to believe that. It's another thing to practice that. Look in James chapter 2. You'll be very familiar with the passage. In James chapter 2, verse 17. James 2:17. Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And he gives an illustration of Abraham offering up Isaac. It's one thing to say, hey, I believe the Bible. It's another thing to practice what the Bible says. Now, there are three things concerning this that I want to refer to tonight. The first is salvation, the second is the rapture, and the third are needs being supplied. First, salvation. It's one thing to believe in salvation. It's another thing to experience and practice it in your daily life. Turn your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 1, and bear with me, because I know there are many of you that know these passages. But Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Romans 1, 14. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Please observe, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, people say, well, I believe the verse. I believe in salvation in Christ, but they never experienced that salvation. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Look at the condition. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Well, then there are those that believe in vain. They believe John 5:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And they say, okay, I've got everlasting life. Why? I believe that verse. I believe this Bible. But Jesus Christ said to some people, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And it is they that testify of me. In other words, they believed the Bible, but they didn't believe in Christ. They believed the verses, but they didn't really accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Instead, they said, we have no king but Caesar. This man is not the king of Israel. Crucify this man. There are those today that they believe that Jesus Christ was a man that was born a virgin in Bethlehem and on. They believe that this man was a great prophet. They believe that he's the Son of God. And they believe that some wicked people took him out to Calvary and they crucified him. So are you aware that there were 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 that believed exactly what I'm talking about right now? They believe that Jesus Christ died at Calvary. They believe that God raised him from the dead. They believed in Pentecost. They believed in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus was going to come again and sit on the throne of David and reign forever and ever. And yet those people were told he would endure to the end, the same must be saved. Many of them fell without having endured. It is one thing to say, I believe. It is another thing to experience salvation. There are thousands of people that believe in salvation. They stand up Sunday after Sunday and sing, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And they don't have any. They don't really know what salvation's all about. Oh, they believe the verses. Just like I'm talking about Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Believe that? Yes, sir, I believe that Bible from cover to cover. But they've never experienced that. Their lives, day in and day out, prove they don't really believe what they say they believe. They do not act like they believe they can do all things. They act like, I am a failure. I always have been a failure. There ain't no need to try this now because I failed over here and I'm going to fail over there. And all they're concerned with is sympathy. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you believe it and practice it? How about, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary? Yeah, okay, that's one thing. Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? If so, when did you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Where is the point in your life that you realized that you were lost? And you couldn't save yourself. You realized you were bad. You realized you were no good. And understanding that, you, as it were, fled to the Lord. As it were, you cast everything upon him. You totally put your sins upon him. And you are totally dependent upon him today to save your soul. It's one thing to talk salvation. It's another thing to experience it and walk a daily life showing that you are saved. Well, there's some people in this Bible that did. Look at the Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Look at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God would be spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Why, these people were so fervent about their salvation, they were so zealous about their salvation, Paul said, we don't need to speak anything back there. Why, you're spreading the word out there. In other words, they were performing out their salvation. They were manifesting in their daily lives the fact that they were saved by grace through faith. They're like that woman back there in John. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ stopped at this well, sat down on a thing, a woman came up, and she starts to draw water. Jesus Christ said, give me a drink. She started an argument with him. Then he finally told her, said, lady, if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. She said, well, you ain't got a bucket. How are you going to draw? And he said, if you had the water that I'll give you, it'd be in you a well of water rising up to life everlasting and on and on. And finally the woman came to the place that she really accepted him and accepted the truth. And you know what she did? She went away from there, went into the town and said, come see a man that told me everything about my life. She began to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ wherever she went. That woman could do those things through Christ. Why? Because her faith caused her to excel. Folks, it's one thing to believe the truth. It's another thing to live and experience the truth in your life. Number two, the rapture. Believe in the rapture. There are those that believe in the rapture, but their lives do not imply that they would experience it. Turn in your Bible, please, to Galatians, and look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians 1, 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. All right then, God gave Jesus Christ for our sins, and that in order that he might deliver us from the present evil world. The Bible tells me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, people say, well, I believe those verses, but yet, look at their daily life and what they practice in daily life. Look in 1 John, please. In 1 John chapter 3, be over to Coastal Revelation if you have. It's not John, now it's 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, faith without works is dead. It's one thing to say I believe, it's another thing to work out that which you believe and manifest it in your daily life. And we're not talking about living in sin or not living in sin. We're talking about showing what you believe. We're talking about living what you believe and doing it so that people see what you believe. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we should be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you believe that the rapture is coming immediately, if it's right down the road, if it's tonight or tomorrow or whatever, then your life is going to be lived in one accord with that. If you were getting ready to die, I mean you know you're going to die. Let's just say that you were on death row, and your death is scheduled for 4 o'clock in the morning. What kind of life would you have? What attitude would you have? You know, I've met people that didn't believe in the Lord as their Savior, and I've tried to show them the Lord Jesus Christ and had them sarcastically to reject what I was saying to them as if they were going to be doing me a favor if they received it. And I think in terms of that same individual being in a cell somewhere and he's getting ready to die. Now I'm trying to show this lost man that I'm talking about, I'm trying to show him salvation. I'm trying to show him that it's free. I'm trying to show him it's by grace through faith. I'm trying to show him it's not of works or whatever. And he says, there's more to it than that. I said, but there ain't nothing else to it. I mean, Jesus Christ died for you. You can be saved by grace through faith. And he said, well, I heard old preacher so-and-so say one time that you got to live it. And I said, hey, man, there ain't never been nobody lived it up until now. I mean, Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. And only, in other words, he's going to come back at me with something every time. He's not going to receive it. Same man sitting in a cell. You're ready to die in the morning at 3 o'clock. I go to the cell and I say, hey, I know a way you can get out of here. You don't have to die. Yeah, how's that?
I say, okay, there is an individual that'll take your place. Everything can be arranged. He'll go in there, and you can come out. And that fella say, I don't know if I'd take my place.
You believe he'd say that?
He say, come off that stuff. I believe you got to live it. I don't believe in all that stuff you're talking about. Well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so, and my grandma and my grandpa said so-and-so, and on. You know what? There might be one out of so many thousand that would do that, but the majority of the people that are on death row in some prison right now, you could go there with an individual, and that individual say, I'll go in, you come out, and you're absolutely free, and they can never arrest you again for the crimes you made, and I'll guarantee you they'd take it just like that. But they won't take salvation, will they? People say, I believe in the rapture. But the life they live day in and day out implies they do not believe in the rapture. I'm not talking about those kind of things that say, okay, you believe the rapture coming tonight, hold up your hand, and so people put up the hand. Well, folks, let's get on with it now. If I really believe the rapture is going to come tonight before 12 o'clock, chances are I wouldn't even be here. If you believe the Lord is going to come tonight before 12, you reckon you'd be sitting here tonight? Chances are you wouldn't. Chances are you'd probably get on the telephone, call somebody, or maybe you'd go to see somebody, or any number of things. Maybe the neighbor next door. And you've thought about going and visiting that neighbor next door and tell that individual about salvation, but you put it off. But if you knew the rapture is going to come by midnight tonight, there wouldn't be any putting off anymore, would you? You go over there. You know what? It wouldn't matter about in the morning. Maybe there's been somebody that you needed to talk to, but you wouldn't talk to them because of what would happen as a result of that. Tomorrow, things would be different. Why, they'd bring reproach upon you at the office or this and that and the other, and so you put it off and haven't done it. But folks, if the rapture is going to be tonight, you wouldn't be afraid about what's going to be on tomorrow, would you? Well, then, if you'd witnessed to people, if you knew the rapture going to come, what would keep you from witnessing to them if you didn't know it was going to come? What am I talking about? I'm talking about it's one thing to say I believe. It's another thing to perform in your daily life what you say you believe. I know about a man one time that just had this man was on his mind, and he couldn't get him off his mind, and he just felt like he ought to go and visit that fella and talk to him, and he couldn't get it off his mind. He tried to go to sleep, and finally he said, I'm just stupid. I know I'm crazy. If I go and knock on that fella's door at this time of night and try to talk to him about the Lord, he's going to say, you're some sort of a nut. Finally, he put on his clothes. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest, and went to that man's house, rang the doorbell. And to his amazement, he found out later that fellow was sitting on the bed when the doorbell rang with a .45 automatic stuck up right in front of his ear there. I'm not joking with you. I'm telling you the truth. And that fellow getting ready to blow his brains out right then. And the doorbell rang, and he sat there, and he thought about it a minute, and he laid the gun down on the bed, went to the door, and that fellow said, I came here tonight to talk to you about the Lord, so forth. And the end result was that the man got saved and never shot himself. You never know what's going to happen if you go over and talk to somebody. But there are a lot of people, we're afraid to go over and talk to them because of what the result would be on tomorrow. Or what they might say or what they might do. But if we knew the rapture, it's going to be right away. We're going to be gone anyway, and so it ain't going to matter, right? Well, then let's live our lives as if the rapture is going to be tonight at midnight, and it ain't going to matter, and go on and do it. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, which strengthens me. Then the last thing, needs supplied. It's one thing to believe that God can do it. It's another thing to believe that God will do it. Now, that's a whole different ballgame. Hey, I believe God Almighty owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I know that the Bible said God, the gold and the silver is God's. Well, it's one thing to believe that. It's another thing to believe that God Almighty will sell some of them cows and use the money to take care of you, isn't it? Turn in your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. He's able according to the power that worketh in us. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. One of my favorites. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able. God is able to give special favor where you're concerned. And it's one thing to believe in it, but it's another thing to practice it. You know, the other day, Jerry and Bud and I, we'd been to lunch and we came by the racetrack over there. Just happened to go by there. We got there and there was some people out there, so we turned out there. Wouldn't have went out there if it hadn't been for Jerry or Bud. Got out there, and there's a man standing over there on the track, and he's waving for me to come over there. I went over there, and he asked me if I'd preach out there this past Sunday. And, you know, always, it's one thing to come to this building here and meet you here on Wednesday night and teach a lesson here and whatever. It is one thing to go tomorrow night to Fairhope and to Birmingham and whatever, but it's another thing to go out there and stand out there on that racetrack with those people in those stands up there and preach to them. You see, there's all kinds of thoughts that arise about that. I mean, these people get up and walk out on me. I mean, who am I? I mean, they'd sit there and listen to Billy Graham. They don't know E.C. Moore from Adam's house cat. I couldn't believe what I heard when I got out there. I'm standing up in the tower there, getting ready to go down there to the little thing where I'm going to be to preach. And the man who's putting the thing on asked another fellow, I heard him, and he said, what is his name anyway? And he said, E.C. Moore. He said, now what does he do? He said, well, he's pastor of the church here. And he began to tell him. And he's writing all this down. So I got down there, and I'm supposed to start at 20 minutes off. Finally, at 10 minutes of 12, he decides to let me go. And so he begins to make the announcement. And he said, I want to present to you Brother E.C. Moore, a man that we dearly love. Fella just had to ask another man what my name was. He began to love me in a hurry, didn't he? Well, back to my verse, God is able to make all grace abound. You know what happened? I stood up there and got sunburned. I stood up there and started, and people didn't walk out. But instead, they sat there and they listened. And I preached to those people for about 20 minutes. And I preached salvation to them on several different points, the best I knew how. And when I got through, those people applauded. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all favor, that you're always having, in other words, whatever the need is, it'll be there. God is able. But you know what? It's one thing to say, I know that's true. It's another thing to act like you know that's true. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Mark 9, 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now that is unmistakable. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, whatever God said that you can do,
between Romans and Philemon you can do. Now, if I start here and I say this is the ministry of Jesus Christ up to this point here, and there is Matthew through John. During that time is the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the promises that are in there are not necessarily to us in this room. Therefore, you can't just go in there and claim every promise that is laid out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You come into the book of Acts. During the period of time covered in the book of Acts, Israel as a nation are still being dealt with by God. But Israel today is not a nation under God. They're scattered among the rest of the nations. So during this time, a lot of the promises that you find in there have to do with God still dealing with Israel as a nation. And so you can't always go in there and say, okay, I'm going to do it the way that Paul did it in here. Or I'm going to do the way Peter did it in here, or whatever. Then in Romans through Philemon, if God Almighty made a promise to you in Romans through Philemon, you can claim that tonight. You can have that. You can be assured tonight that that is yours, and you can use that to the glory of Almighty God. I can do all things that God Almighty promised me in there. I can do anything that God said in there that I can do, and I can do it by the power that worketh in me. You know what? I never have been worth a flip for anything. I am a failure. But in 1958, I went to Montgomery, Alabama as a failure and established the Montgomery Rescue Mission. Finally, the thing was closed down, the rug was jerked out from under me, and I was run out of Montgomery. I waited a year and a half and went back again and reestablished the Montgomery Rescue Mission. But I'm a failure. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do it. I just knew that's what I wanted to do, and I went and did it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If there's something you want to do, you can go and do it. But you got to want to. God has the power and the authority to pave the way. God can prepare the way for you to do that which is right in his own eyes. Say, well, what's the will of God for me? Paul prayed that he asked some people to pray for him that doors would be open that he might speak the mystery for which he was in bonds. I know what's right. I don't have to pray and say, God, what is right about this? I already know what's right. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I don't have to pray if it's right to preach. I know it's right to preach. And if there's nowhere to preach, then make somewhere to preach. Get on with it. Go and do it. And do it for Christ's sake. But you know what? If you're not a preacher, and if that's not your calling, then whatever your calling is, do it. You can do it if you want to do it. But if you look at your failures and look what you've always been and rely on your failures to happen again, then they're going to happen again. But if you quit worrying about failing and begin to worry about doing and accomplishing, then things will change. You know, we're not talking about that train thing either. I think I can, all that kind of stuff, you know. Finally, I thought I could. We're not talking about that. We're talking about I can, for Christ's sake, do it. Turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew, and look in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Matthew 9, 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. How about your faith? Well, that's the way it's going to be. Reminds me of Brother Steve Atwood. I've heard Brother Atwood use the illustration two or three times about the man that first time he saw a train. Sitting there on that track, most humongous thing he'd ever seen. Steam going, shh, shh, shh,
coming out of that thing, just sitting there like it's kind of breathing. And he's just shaking his head.
And he said, it'll never move. They'll never get that thing to move. They'll never get that thing started. It'll never go. It won't work. It can't work. They'll never get that thing started. Finally, that thing started moving. Shoom, shoom, shoom. He said, they'll never get it stopped. They'll never get it stopped. That's about the way we react most of the time, isn't it? We plan on failing one way or another. We don't really want to be a winner. Do you want to be a winner? I do. I want to win. Turn in your Bible, please, to John. And look in John chapter 4. Let me show you a man that believed that God would do what he said. In John chapter 4. And look in verse 46. John 4:46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down here, my son died. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. As he was now going down, his servants met him, told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, yesterday at the 11th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. Now here's a man that he asked Jesus Christ to heal his son. Jesus Christ said, well, you're the kind of person that you just have to see signs. You don't believe anything. In other words, he wanted him to come down there, watch him as he lay hands on him, everything, and then he'd know everything's all right. And so the man saw what Jesus is saying. And he said, if you just say the word, it'll be all right. Jesus said, okay, your son's okay. You know what he did? He just took off home. I can just see him walking along. He isn't worried anymore. He's not afraid anymore that his son's going to die. Why? Jesus just told him his son's going to be all right. And he's just going along whistling as he goes and singing as he goes. And he met the people coming, and he already knows that the boy's okay. Why? Because the Lord said that. That's why. He practiced what he believed. Do you? Without works, faith is just dead faith. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now we know that if you've got Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then God strengtheneth thee. We know that. We know that by the Word of God. Well then, can you do whatever God Almighty would have you to do? Why, certainly you can. There is no reason to fail. You are not a failure. There is no way to fail when you're doing what God wants you to do. I can do all things. If God wants me to do that, then I can do it. How do I know I can do it? Because God said that I can. Said, but you don't have the talent to do that. God Almighty can give me the talent to do that. God Almighty can make the provision to do that. But there's one thing that is dead sure. I can go and do it. If God wants me to do it, then I can do it. You can do it. You are not a failure. You're only a failure when you believe you're a failure. Well, quit believing in failure and believe in I can do. Believe in success and get on with it. Sometimes the biggest problem is work, right? We don't want to work. See? So I can do it, but that's going to mean that I'm going to have to sweat. And I'll have to stay cool. That's where the rub comes, isn't it? I pick on Bob down here a lot. Bob Bean started a business in Fort Walton Beach years ago and worked. Did the work by himself and sweated and tore and worked and believed. And now there are people that work
for Bob Bean. But you know what? I bet he'd tell you right now that it's probably easier to do the work than to have the people work for you. You see, there are so many unbelievers. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can do it if you believe you can do it. If you don't believe you can do it, there ain't no need for you to start. Make up your mind that the strength of God is in you and do it. One last thought. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians 11 and look at this man that said, I can do all things. Look what is in his life. 2 Corinthians 11. You think you've got it rough? You've got it made. You know that? Look at this fellow here. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more flagrant. In debts, often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and pains, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And on and on and on. That man said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You think you've had a hard life? You think it's been rough on you? Look at that man there. And yet, when that man said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, you know where that fellow was. That fellow was in a dungeon. That fellow was tied up in a dungeon for preaching the gospel and is writing a letter to some people saying, get ready, I'm going to be back after a while. Now, buddy, that's faith. I mean, here's a man who's getting ready for the gallows and is writing to some people and saying, in fact, he wrote to Philemon and he said, prepare a room for me. I'm going to be by later on. You know why? That fellow had such faith, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. You can do anything that you believe that you can do. According to your faith, so be it. Be a winner. Quit losing. You don't have to lose. You can win if you want. Let's stand for prayer.